This is what dreams are made of.
Nice people!
Come out the
door! Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Oh, hey baddies, welcome to Next Door Villain Podcast. Obviously, I'm Tiana. You should know that by now.
Yeah, and if you're obviously Tiana, I'm obviously Joe.
Joe has more of a Joe voice than a Tiana voice.
Yeah. Oh man, rough start today.
I know, because I realized right after we were like, okay, we're gonna start, we didn't decide who was gonna start first.
Yeah, I guess our listeners should also know if we seem a little bit lethargic today, it's because we both just got vaccinated.
Woo! Science! We got vaccinated, so I seem drunk and tired.
Yeah, and if you didn't know, this is a pro-vaccine podcast. We're not spinning any of that anti-vax conspiracy stuff.
Right. Even though I'm not feeling 100%, I'm still doing okay. I'm doing all right. And I'd do it again because I am so excited to be protected.
Yeah, exactly. I think the vaccine made me a little bit tired. And obviously my arm is sore just because that's what happens when you get a shot in the arm. But overall, I'm pretty stoked that it's not going to be that much longer before I'm fully vaccinated and along with many, many other people.
Joe is so stoked that he's literally drinking champagne out of a champagne bottle. So while he is recovering from vaccine side effects, that's pretty sick, actually. Good job. I did not think to myself, oh, I'm going to drink some champagne while I'm a little bit warm from a vaccine side effects.
No, you got to find a way to enjoy life.
I like that, though. I like that.
But you know what? Speaking of vaccines... this is going to be a bad transition. Speaking of vaccines, I feel like that our villain that we're discussing today could very well grow up or have grown up to be an anti-vaxxer. I kind of get that vibe from him that like, yeah, he'd be like sucked into that community because he's not smart enough and too full of himself to listen to science.
True, he'd be really cocky. But I feel like the events that unfolded in the Lizzie McGuire movie could have humbled him.
Yeah. Well, we hope that something happened to him. And because we haven't officially announced it yet, but you probably read from the title of this episode, we are talking about Paolo from the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Hey now. Hey now. This is what podcast episodes are about. Yeah, dreams are made of.
I didn't realize you were doing your own thing, and I messed it up.
What are dreams made of, though? Like, what is this? What is the this?
I don't know.
Dreams are made of getting vaccinated so that you can go eat spinach and artichoke dip at your favorite restaurant. That's what dreams are made of.
Or if you're Lizzie McGuire, travel to Italy on a school field trip and meet the man of your dreams. Who turns out to be
fraud.
Douche pickle.
I like that. I saw this movie, the Lizzie McGuire movie, when I'm pretty sure I saw it in theaters, actually, because, you know, I was an adolescent girl. The Lizzie McGuire show was targeted to me. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being so shocked at the twist that he couldn't sing at the end and that he was using her. I was like, what? But Paolo's so nice. And I rewatched it and I was like, wow, I was a dumb pile of rocks at 10 years old, which is fair. I mean, I was not the smartest kid.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, watched the Lizzie McGuire movie a couple of weeks ago for the first time. And I knew Paolo was danger from the start. As soon as she saw his dreamy little face, I said, something's up. I mean, this is Keystone nice guy douchebaggery.
Yeah. At 27 years old, I can definitely tell. I've developed a little bit to where I can tell if someone's a fraud or not.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. Should we, we've been babbling a lot. Should we like do our 30-second intro challenge and
yeah,
try to explain who Paolo is in 30 seconds as a real little refresher for our listeners? If you haven't seen the Lizzie McGuire movie in a few years or maybe ever, we're going to tell you who Paolo is.
All right. You're going to start.
Oh, okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right. Paolo is this dreamy, young Italian singer, presumably child star because he's under the age of 18, who is very, very famous and was dating another famous singer, young star, who broke up with, they broke up, and it turns out that he can't actually sing, but he develops this scheme where he uses someone to try...
Okay. Good job.
Thank you.
You got the first part.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
There you go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so Lizzie McGuire looks like Isabella, who was Paolo's former partner, and Paolo has some beef with Isabella, so he wants to use Lizzie McGuire to kind of ruin her career. So he tells Lizzie, long story short, eventually he says, you're going to sing with me, but he's going to turn down her sound so that when Lizzie sings, apparently it's bad, and then ruins Isabella's career because Lizzie looks like Isabella.
Time's up. All right. I feel like you kind of fell into the same trap I did there with,
which
is that Paolo has this weirdly simple yet complicated, confusing plan to like... discredit his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I watched the film, I read about it, and still I was like, what is this plan? That okay, so
it is confusing.
Yeah. Can we try to straighten this out? So he sees Lizzie and he's like, oh, here's this girl who looks just like my ex-girlfriend
and ex-singing partner
and so he thinks, I'll get this girl to come sing on stage with me, and while she's on stage I will turn her mic on and cut the sound so that the audience will hear that she lip syncs.
Yes.
Okay.
He's hoping that Lizzie also sounds bad when she actually sings.
Right. Yeah, well, here's the problem with the plan is that Isabella, we learn later on, is actually a great singer.
Yeah.
So his plan was to reveal that she actually can sing.
Regardless of whether or not the real Isabella can sing, he wants to lie to the public and say that Isabella can't sing because he's hoping that Lizzie can't sing. And Lizzie is pretending to be Isabella.
Oh, so that's the disconnect I didn't get. So if Lizzie can't sing, then they'll think that Isabella can't sing, even though Paolo is the one who actually can't sing.
That's right.
What does he think? That that after this whole scheme goes down, that the paparazzi aren't going to like get all over Lizzie and then realize that she's not Isabella? Or that, like, Isabella's not going to come defend herself and, like, be like, that wasn't me.
And show people that she can sing.
Yeah.
Isabella, the way that she could fix it is she could just go into a courtyard without any equipment and just, like, sing in front of people and then boom. Mm-hmm. the lie is gone. And I think it just goes into the idea that Paolo, although he had this elaborate plan, he's not very smart, or he's 17, so he's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. He doesn't realize how many holes he has in his plan.
Right. Before we dive into the empathizing, which I realize we've done very little of so far, I just want to give a shout out to Jacob Merkins, who sent us an email to do this episode. And Jacob said in his email that Paolo is... truly a representation of toxicity prevalent in the patriarchy we unfortunately live in. And he says, I'm hoping your podcast can help remind listeners that it's not okay to deceive or manipulate people who clearly love you, especially when those people are teen heartthrob Lizzie McGuire and you're a kid who can't legally drive a moped. And so, yeah, I think that's very fair. And as we move forward into the empathy section of this podcast, it's a great reminder that deceiving and manipulating people, particularly young people, is not a good approach to life.
And there was a 4-year age gap between Lizzie and Paolo, obviously Paolo being older. And it's just really creepy
Yeah. You might say like, well, yeah, legally, age-wise, it was fine. But a couple things about that, like, yeah, it is right now, but like, what about in a couple years? But regardless of all that, the power dynamic here is not is not great. Powell being this international superstar with lots of money and fame and influence, and Lizzie being a young girl who doesn't have any of that. She's just really susceptible to manipulation by him because he has so much power in the relationship. But we're a podcast about empathizing, so we got to find some ways to how can we, you know, understand Paolo a little better and connect with his side of things, despite all the crappiness.
You know, this was hard. At the end of the movie, I was like, I don't know if I can think of anything. But I mean, if you sit there and think for a while, you could think of some things. I think just the whole time I was like, this guy's 17. I mean, when you're 17 years old, you haven't really gone through a whole lot of moral development quite yet. But then you're a celebrity.
Yeah. And on top of like, yeah, not having had a lot of moral development yet, is that your development is happening while you are going through this celebrity stuff.
Yeah.
I was doing a little bit of reading about teen celebrities and how that kind of affects your development and growth. And I read a really interesting interview with Mara Wilson, who is the actress who played Matilda. And she was in Mrs. Doubtfire and Miracle on 34th Street, all when she was really young. And one of the things that she said that really stood out to me is that as you grow older, she said, you lose that praise. You lose what you had and you're so used to it. It's almost like a drug. And all of a sudden it's like withdrawal. You just go off of it and you feel very rejected. And she says about child stars, they're going through puberty. But imagine if the whole rest of the world is basically saying, yeah, you know what? You are pretty useless. You are pretty ugly. And there's a lot of that out there. As you age out of child stardom, you realize that your whole worldview has now been built on celebrity and that you have no other like reference point for life. And that can be really difficult.
Yeah, I've never been a celebrity, so this is all just assumption, right? But it's kind of like what she said, that you think of it as a drug. And I think like if you were already famous at like 13, 14, 15, you would expect all the perks and the benefits that come with being a celebrity while also feeling the pressure of being a celebrity at the same time. Like everyone talking about you, everyone looking at you, taking pictures, telling you what to wear, how to look, how to be. And you mix that all together and it just seems like a disaster sometimes for development. Not all the time. I mean, I know that there are child stars who turn out just fine.
But there's a number of them who go through a lot of struggle. Like we've seen many examples of that in pop culture.
Yeah. When I watched this movie, I thought that it was like an allegory for the destructive music and movie industries that control children and then make them feel like they need to be someone else to get ahead, and then make them feel that the only way to get ahead and to be seen as valuable is to use people or do whatever it takes to get ahead and maintain your image. And so bringing that back to Paolo, you know, I can see how maybe he thinks that he needs to use people in order to get ahead in the music industry because Isabella left him and this is a huge dagger in his reputation. Or maybe he's afraid that Isabella will tell people that he can't sing, even though that's not for sure that she would do that if he hadn't tried to screw her over. But maybe he was fearful of that, and so he just felt that he needed to act first and he needed to do whatever it takes to maintain his image because he already feels probably so much pressure from his agent, his family maybe, his all of Italy to be a great star. And he's 17.
Yeah, and on that note, where is his support system, right? Like
we don't
like,
see it.
Like he came up with this plan, but we don't really see anyone counseling him on it. Which you would think that, you know, someone of his status would have a whole team of people working with him to help him and support him. And he didn't seem to have anybody. This was a scheme cooked up by a boy not even out of high school.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, you know, think back to your time in high school or like, you know, my time, anyone's time in high school. Like, you probably did some stupid stuff after a breakup or because of a breakup. It's just that yours didn't have international fame associated with it. What Paolo did is really bad, but it's only because he had so much power and celebrity in order for it to be a big deal. But, you know, a lot of teenagers do similar things on a much, much smaller scale. And it's like, to a certain extent, that's part of growing up and learning. and then you move on. But how can he move on from it when now this incident is going to be judged and seen throughout the world and remembered by people for the rest of his life?
That's nuts.
Was that too convoluted? Like we get to forget and move on from our stupid high school mistakes, like atone for them and then to move on. He'll never get to do that.
Like he'll literally walk into a grocery store when he's 45 years old and someone will be like, "Hey, you're the kid who can't sing."
Yeah. And he'll be like, "I was a kid and my parents probably threw me into acting because it was a way to make money and I didn't know what I was doing and they told me to lip sync and that's what I learned to do and then I couldn't sing and then I was too far into it to get myself out, you know?"
Right.
And right. And he's 18 and now probably doesn't have like a full education or future plans other than his career. Like he's probably trapped. If even if he wants to get out, like what are his other options?
Right.
I think that's one thing that faces a lot of teen celebrities is like, this is all I've done. This is all I know how to do. I don't have a regular, quote unquote, normal social network or education. So how do I move on in the world?
Mm-hmm. And people listening to this episode could maybe still say, well, it's still justified that he's going through this because he was going to try and make Isabella go through this. So that, I think, is something that I'm struggling a little bit with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wanted that same predicament to happen to Isabella. And how do you still empathize with him when you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, once again, like we said earlier, and like we say every episode, like we're not here to absolve villains of the terrible things that they do. You know, like that was a crappy thing that he did. But by like thinking about his perspective and trying to understand him, like we can, you know, maybe come to like learn a little better so that, you know, maybe when we encounter people like him, we'll know better, or maybe we'll know how to get those people the help that they need so they don't harm other people with their actions. So think about it that way. Like what could have been done to create a situation where Paolo wouldn't have been able to do that, or wouldn't have wanted to do that or decided to do that? And I think that the answer is get him a support system. I never saw a single person who was there to counsel him or to be a parental figure or even really much of a real friend to him other than his bodyguard who...
He's not very talkative.
Yeah, not very talkative and ultimately not on his side because of the crappy things that he does. And that's kind of crappy. Like, we cheered on that bodyguard for going against Paolo, but maybe that bodyguard is the only adult near him, like, should have like stepped in and been like, "Hey, dude, this is wrong. You're a kid, and I'm an adult."
Yeah. You think that the bodyguard would have noticed something before that whole fiasco went down on stage?
Yeah.
Like, there were signs that he could have seen and that he could have noticed. And if he's been with Paolo that long, he should have known that Paolo was capable of doing some sneaky things. Yeah. I don't know.
Someone should have been there to support Paolo and be helping him through his life as an international celebrity at the age of 18 or 17, whatever he is.
Yeah. And a healthy role model, you know, where someone can be like, "Hey, I know you're really upset about what happened with Isabella. Here are healthy ways to cope with it. Yeah. Maybe let's think about what other steps you can take with your music career. Or maybe not, like with music career because you can't sing. But maybe let's think about movies. Mm-hmm. let's think about something else, you know. Or these are different options for you."
Well, that was actually something I read about. I think in the Mara Wilson interview I was reading, where she talked about like child celebrities. Like, some of them go to really bad places because of being child celebrities, but some of them do just fine. A lot of them do just fine. And one of the reasons for that is because they have supportive people in their lives that are helping them through it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
We often don't think about those ones that were successful. I mean, think about like Natalie Portman, who was she went to what, Yale, Harvard?
I'm so fucking jealous of her. Anyway.
There are a lot of great instances of child celebrities who went on to do great things and didn't have these big breakdowns. But the ones that do, we hear about them. I mean, think Justin Bieber, think Britney Spears right now is a big one with her whole conservatorship thing. And I have to confess, I have not seen the documentary yet, but I know it's a mess. What her situation is like, regardless of what's going on, and her celebrity was not good for her, at least at some point in her life. Lindsay Lohan, another example.
Yeah. Sarah Lynn.
Sarah Lynn, I mean, she's a fictional star from BoJack Horseman.
Yeah. But no, I loved, not love, because I didn't like what happened to her, but I liked that they put in the story of Sarah Lynn in BoJack Horseman, because it just like made us realize maybe we shouldn't be so hard on Lindsay Lohan. Like, maybe we shouldn't be so hard on some of these stars that have gone off the deep end or had a really difficult time. I also thought this Justin Bieber quote was really compelling to me, and I think can further explain maybe what Paolo is going through. So it says, in his youth, Bieber seemingly launched overnight from an unknown teen in Canada with a YouTube channel to an international pop star. He previously opened up about what an overwhelming transition it was for a 13-year-old, and he said, quote, millions of fans were saying how they loved me and how great I was. You hear these things enough as a young boy, and you actually start believing it. So by this point, I was 18 with no skills in the real world, with millions of dollars and access to whatever I wanted. This is a very scary concept for anyone. And I thought that that quote really helped me maybe understand Paolo, because he's a teenager who's a celebrity who has so much power, but maybe he doesn't quite know what to do with it. And he can take it and use it however he wants, while also simultaneously feeling this intense pressure to get ahead. When I first watched the Lizzie McGuire movie, I did not think that Paolo would have gone through something as intense as this experience. But it sounds like being a teenage celebrity is really intense.
Yeah.
It's a really intense thing.
Yeah. Speaking of Justin Bieber, I remember a particularly memorable line from the Comedy Central roast of Justin Bieber when he went up to speak at the end. One of his jokes was, he said, what do you get when you give a teenager $200 million? A bunch of has-beens calling you a lesbian for 2 hours. And
wow,
it's a kind of a dumb joke, but also like kind of insightful, just that like these teenage celebrities, they get so famous and then they just get piled on by other people, like insulting them and like saying bad things about them. And that's a harsh life, even as an adult celebrity, to have that kind of criticism coming at you. I mean, I can barely take it when people I don't know say mean things about me.
Same.
Imagine millions of people like saying horrible things about you simply because you are famous and you're a child.
Right.
Going through development, like, ugh.
And they're saying it everywhere. They're saying it online. They're saying it in magazines. They're saying it in tabloids. They're saying it to your face when you walk on the street.
Yeah. There was once a time when you could be a famous celebrity and really only the people in your town could say things about you. Now everyone in the world, anywhere, literally can say mean things about you.
So I guess this is why Paolo just spat those lies the moment he saw Lizzie McGuire. When I was watching this movie, he like first meets Lizzie McGuire, they sit down, and he just starts just saying the lies, like, if you don't help me give this award, or if you don't sing with me and pretend you're Isabella, people are gonna sue me. I was like, okay, sure, like, even if you were sued, you'd be fine.
Yeah, well,
financially, you would be fine, right?
Yeah. But I mean, think about this perspective, considering the fact that we didn't see any counseling or support for him. Those might not have been lies. He might have thought that.
That's true, yeah.
Like, he might have been fighting for his career. And I'm not saying he was right. He was definitely wrong. But he might have felt that way. He was young, inexperienced. Like, I started this episode like I didn't think that I felt bad for this kid, but I've kind of turned around. Like, yeah, he did a pretty crappy thing, but I don't think he had any support. I don't think he had anybody guiding him or helping him. And celebrity is difficult. It's a difficult place to be, especially as a child.
Yeah, maybe that's why he wanted to ruin Isabella's career, because he felt that she screwed him over so much by disappearing and going to an island.
Yeah.
So maybe he was so hurt. Like, because if you truly think that you're getting sued because your partner left you, then you could have like a lot of resentment and be like, okay, fine, I'm going to try and ruin your career because you're trying to ruin mine. You're trying to get me sued, or you're trying to make me look bad by not being on stage with me during this award ceremony, or not being on stage with me during this performance.
Yeah. I did a lot of stupid, petty things as a young teenager. And
oh, do tell.
I won't. And I just can't imagine having those things in the public eye for the entire world to see and remember for the rest of my life, because there are things that I am trying so hard to forget that I did because they were so stupid. And I'm glad that I was able to move on from them and be a better person now because of it. And Paolo didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah. You won't need to walk into a grocery store and someone won't come up to you and be like, oh, you're Joe Anderson. You did that shitty thing when you were 17.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I've got to say about Paolo. So for a little bit of fun at the end of the episode, we thought we'd try to write out some of our own cheesy pickup lines or cheesy inspirational lines like Paolo. I have such a hard time with his name sometimes. Ugh. Paolo uses on Lizzie. He says, it's almost embarrassing how stupid this line is, or how cheesy or cliche it is, but he tells her, you shine like the light from the sun. And so we thought we'd come up with our own cheesy little lines to say to someone to, I don't know, inspire them, make them feel good about themselves. What's one you came up with, Tiana?
Yeah. Your eyes are as deep as water.
Yeah. That's totally already a thing people say.
Yeah.
you didn't make that up. You just stole it.
What? I did?
Yeah. People totally say that already.
Oh, your eyes are as deep as water?
Yeah, I think they may say it a little more eloquently. I think people say like your eyes are as deep as the ocean.
Yeah. I mean, I did think of it on my own. To be fair, I wrote this yesterday at 6 p.m. or so. It was like the prime time when the COVID-19 vaccine side effects hit. And I was sitting there. I was like, I feel really warm. That's okay. Let me think of water. I'm drinking water. Eyes. Eyes are deep as water. Okay.
So what if it's shallow water?
then your eyes aren't very deep. Easy.
I shouldn't be making fun of you because I have to say mine.
Okay.
Here's my first one. You glow like the embers of a forgotten fire.
Wow. Why is the fire forgotten?
Because someone left it to smolder.
Oh, got it. Okay. Wow, that's deep.
Thank you.
Would you say that to someone? Like, seriously?
I don't think so. it's one of those things where it popped into my head and I was like, ooh, that sounds nice. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, does someone want to be compared to a forgotten fire? Like, this is...
Right.
But like embers, they do glow and they're warm and they're nice to look at. You know, that like reddish glow that like kind of like, ooh, is like wavy, and you can roast marshmallows over it.
You're someone I can roast marshmallows on. Great.
All right. Do you have another one?
Yeah. You are as blue as the sky.
That's also one people already... Wait, no. People say like your eyes are as blue as the sky.
Yeah.
Wait, sorry. Can you say that again?
You are as blue as the sky.
So you're sad? You're really sad?
Or you're like physically blue? Like I'm...
you're out of oxygen? Like you're as asphyxiated?
Or like, I'm blue, abadee, abadai, abadee, abadai.
I think that means sad.
Sure.
Unless you're like, I guess it's a great compliment for a Smurf.
Oh, the Smurfs. I haven't thought of those in so long.
My next one is kind of convoluted. You sparkle like the droplets of ocean waves in the sun after crashing against a rocky shore.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah, I was thinking of like that, like when a wave hits the shore and like the misty spray off of it on like a bright sunny day, like twinkling in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
That's the imagery I was going for, but I couldn't find the best way to say it.
That reminds me of the first part of Grease, the movie, because there's like waves splashing into the rocks. Do you remember that?
No, I've never seen Grease.
What? You've never seen Grease?
I saw a sing-along version of the live musical.
Oh my gosh. I've seen Grease probably 20 different times.
Well, I personally hated it. It's not a good story.
Yeah. Grease, man. The ending of Grease made me realize, like, oh, I'm not 100% heterosexual. Because, yeah, you have to, you should just watch the ending scene of Grease. You'll know why.
All right, I'll give that a try.
I'll send you a video so that you know which one to watch. It is a song.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, do you have anything else to say about Paolo?
I have one more. I have one more statement.
Okay.
You smell as good as a candle.
Are these things you say to your partner?
No. Well, let me think. No, because his eyes aren't very deep and he's not blue.
I don't mean to laugh because, like, I don't think mine were any better, but.
So, yeah, you smell as good as a candle.
But what if the candle smells bad?
then you smell bad. Easy. But most candles smell good. I'd say majority, 90% of candles smell pretty good.
Yeah, they're usually, they're designed that way.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So if you're trying to smooth talk a lover, you're going to want to get advice from someone else besides us.
True. And don't take advice from Paolo.
No.
You shine like the light from the sun. Wow. Compelling.
Yeah, what if it's cloudy out?
What if the sun explodes?
It will, eventually. Science tells us.
Sad. Well, on that depressing note.
Yeah, let's end this episode. Let's get it over with. Hey, thanks for listening, all you baddies. This podcast is produced, written, recorded, all that hubba-baloo by us, Joe Anderson, and Tiana Hennings.
Yeah, please follow us on social media, at NextDoorVillain, on TikTok.
We're on TikTok?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No,
We've had a TikTok account for maybe 2 months or so.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, check us out on TikTok. I hear it's cool.
Yeah, it kind of turned into my account, but it's still at NextDoorVillain. And it still has, like, NextDoorVillain related stuff on the TikTok. But, like, Joe, if you ever log into the TikTok, the algorithm, like, on a For You page is catered to me. So all you will see on there is, like, sexy edits of, like, anime guys. That's all you're going to see if you go on there. And if you look at our liked videos, after you log in, all you will see is, like, this Levi Ackerman Attack on Titan shit that I just stare at for hours. So it is NextDoorVillain, also ish, kind of now has become my account because I use it a lot. So yeah, follow us, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We also have a Facebook group at NextDoorVillain and Twitter. Check us out.
Yep, and thanks for listening. If you stuck around this far, you're a true fan.
Yes, thank you.
Peace.